Kellen Coleman.
Hello and welcome to the Monday Thursday Power Hour, the 45-minute interview podcast with various interesting people, new episodes each Tuesday. I'm your host, Luna Kung Fu Panda 3 2016, Brecky. Our guest today is Bostonian ghost-to-be, Liz McDonald. Welcome to the program, Liz. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, too. Things have been working out recently, which is nice. I understand that you are a pre-ghost, if you will?
Yes, that is correct.
So you're not a ghost yet, but you have plans to become one or else are inevitably? Tell me more about this.
Yes, I mean, it's been my dream, long-time dream, to one day return to the mortal plane and just haunt everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Why not?
But you're still on the mortal plane, correct?
Yes.
Cool. So you want to leave it and then come back?
That's correct.
Okay. I get it now. Sort of like
Jesus.
Exactly. Sort of like Jesus. You took the words right out of my mouth. So, as an eventual ghost, do you do any sort of, like, prep, any sort of training for when you eventually will become a ghost?
Yeah. One thing I like to do is, I like to stand in the corner of my living room such that my cat just comes up to me and stares at me. So, in the future when I'm a ghost, and as we all know, cats can definitely see ghosts.
Oh, of course.
In the future when I am a ghost and a cat comes and stares at me, I've been practicing having a staring contest with the cat so that my ghost eyes won't dry out.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Because I know that's a big worry. You don't want your ghost to dry out because basically there's a lot of water vapor in there. And you get rid of that, there's not much keeping you.
Exactly. Like, it's really important to preserve your water vapor when you're a spirit.
Mm-hmm. Hydrate or dehydrate. So, I guess you already died?
Not right now.
True. You're not dying again.
Yeah.
And you could, maybe. I don't know. So, when the time eventually comes for you to become a ghost, could you walk me through what that process kind of looks like?
Yeah. So, I like to imagine that, look, I'm no, like, death philosopher or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to imagine, like, you know, people, like, they, when they die and they have a near-death experience, they, like, see a light and they think that that is God, like, welcoming them into heaven.
Uh-huh.
But I think, actually, that light is the oppressive fluorescent lights of a ghost hair salon.
Hmm.
And so you go in there and they give you, like, a ghost makeover.
Mm-hmm,
and make sure you're looking appropriately scraggly,
but
not too much.
Right, because not all ghosts are in the form they were in when they died.
Exactly. And also, they do your ghost makeup. That's why they all the ghosts have, like, you know, bags under their eyes and stuff. Like, that's not just from death. Like, that's engineered, right?
Right. There are different beauty standards in the ghost community. We have a very human-centric conception of what beauty is here.
Yeah, to ghosts, it's just being pale and having dark circles and being a little glowy. They put a lot of glitter on you.
I see it. Also, having you slouch a little bit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they fix your posture. They do your nails because, like, honestly, like, no one wants a ghost with dirt under their nails.
And no one wants a ghost that stands up straight. They're always creepier if
they're
hunched over a little bit.
Exactly. Like, standing up straight, that's for the living. We all know this.
Right. So I've actually got a head start on becoming a ghost. My back is never straight, and neither am I, so.
Honestly, same.
I do remember the cultural conception, for the most part, is that not all dead people become ghosts, and that it tends to be just the people with unfinished business.
Yes.
Have you decided what business you're going to leave unfinished?
I would want to, like, mysteriously, like, die without revealing a deeply held secret to someone close to me, preferably something that impacts their life. This is very vague, but this, I think, would be the most exciting.
Right.
Like, for example, someone, like, I die and I never tell them, like, I don't plan on having children, so this is very contrived, but like,
say it anyway.
I'm gonna have a child, and I'm not gonna tell the child who its other parent is, and then I'm just gonna take that to the grave so that I can come back and haunt them and tell them. Because also, who the fuck doesn't love a story where someone is like, oh, my grandma died, and then like 5 years later, one night I just heard her favorite song and I knew she was there, and then everyone goes, aw, ghosts are real, you know?
Nice. Though I will say, once you tell them, wouldn't you stop being a ghost?
Oh, that's true. I think I want to stick around for a while.
What would you want? Do you have a secret yet? If you were to pursue that?
I don't. I tell everyone everything. It's one of my main personality flaws. Okay.
I really hope you don't die immediately, because then all your business seems to be finished.
It does. However, I just thought of something. What if I pick something that, like, we probably won't ever find out? Like, what if I make it my life's mission to find out, like, what happened to JonBenet Ramsey or something? Something that, like, we'll probably never know. So then that's my unfinished business. So then I can just come back forever. Like, it'll be like when you tell someone that you had computer trouble, and that's why you can't turn in your assignment, but you're just buying yourself more time so you can work on things. And what am I working on? Saying boo to people.
I will say, I think Sufjan Stevens got a head start on you. I think he has the same goals, because he is two states into his one album for each U.S. state thing. And he hasn't done a new one since, like, 2011, so.
Yeah, and he's put out, like, 5 albums since then, so at this point it's clear he's given up on it.
So I think that's his strategy. He's just using that to count as his unfinished business.
Right, so I just need to pick some very high-concept, like, art thing that I pledge to do that is actually impossible to do. I like this.
Maybe you could, like, start a podcast that's really meta and nonsensical, and say that you're going to do, like, a 31-episode season arc, and then start to have plans for the season 2, our overarching villain, and then miss more weeks of releasing in the first, let's say, 9-10 episodes than you actually released episodes on.
Yeah.
That might be a good idea.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea, because then... Like, clearly I wouldn't have the wherewithal to, like, follow through for whatever reason.
Exactly.
Finishing things has never been my strong suit. So I think this is a really good plan of attack, because I don't think I've finished a single thing that wasn't food.
Oh, relatable. Relatable. Mm-hmm. And also, like, the other good thing about that idea is that by the 9th or 10th episode, it's going to start getting old. People are going to stop liking it, and then you're going to stop liking it, and you'll never get past episode 10 or whatever. And then, episode 31? Where's this big season finale? Nowhere.
Yes. And then I die.
You should actually write this down. I don't want you to forget this.
You're right. I should. I'll write it down right now. I should find a pen. Yeah, and then I'll be like, oh, sorry, I've come back as a ghost to finish my thing. Too bad ghosts can't record. So, I'm haunting the corner of your house to have a staring contest with your cat.
wait. Movie idea.
Yes.
A ghost's unfinished business. No, ghost Sufjan Stevens. He dies right after he releases his 49th state album. Or no, 50th, because Puerto Rico's a state by then.
Oh, yeah, of course. This is we like to envision a wonderful future. Yeah.
Right. And then he needs to finish his last one, which is...
Yeah, what would he leave for last?
I want to say... Vermont.
Yeah, Vermont's, like, there's just not a lot going on there.
Or at least...
Maybe, like, Ben and Jerry's.
Definitely
and
one
Bernie
of
Sanders.
Those smaller northeastern ones. I think he would get through the other ones. He has the, like, allure towards the pastoral life.
Yeah, so he would bang out the Midwest real quick.
As well as the West, because there's just so much.
And then he, like, I think he lives in New York City, and that's, like, everyone writes everything about New York City, so he's got a lot of material there. Massachusetts, you could do a whole, like, revolution thing.
Oh, you know and what? Then... I think he might not do Maine for a while, because to the best of my knowledge, he's never been into deep sea fishing.
Yeah, deep sea fishing or, like... liking the police or
right and like he's Pine not gonna cheese. Turn a Billy Joel and then suddenly start writing all of his songs about going out on his old fishing boat and trying to catch fish to keep the family business afloat.
Editor's note. Yes, that is a pun.
Retired Navy sailor would, like, write poems of in, like, a really divey bar on, like, a coastal city. However, I don't think that if an actual person who fishes listened to those songs that they would actually find them legitimate. Hello? Oh, you're back. Fantastic. I was just telling our listeners some other things about Billy Joel.
Oh, sounds good. I'm sorry I missed this Billy Joel.
I'm glad you missed it.
Session. I had to help someone turn the stove on.
Oh, nice. Did you do it successfully?
Yes.
Nice job. Proud of you. So, speaking of turning the stove on, one media franchise that has had a lot of different controversy for the way it handles food and the way it discusses, like, its sources and really any agricultural pursuits is Pokemon. Who is your favorite Pokemon? Because, like, they do eat some meat in the Pokemon universe. Is that meat Pokemon? We don't know.
Honestly, I never thought about that. Wow.
That's what Nintendo wants you to do, to not think about it. So who's your favorite Pokemon?
Charizard?
To have or to eat?
Honestly, imagine a nice charred flank steak of Charizard. Probably wouldn't taste that good, honestly.
Yeah, I feel like you'd want more of the Charmander, but that's gonna, like, be even concerning.
Is Charmander, like, the lamb of Pokemon meat? And then, like, we don't even eat, like, full sheep. How is it?
Some places they do.
I feel like in America.
Uh-huh. Like, very common.
Yeah, not very common. I was gonna say I've eaten goat a bunch of times, but not sheep.
Right, and then veal is a thing, a fancy
veal
thing.
Veal is like calves, right?
Mm-hmm. Basically, can't remember exactly,
but yeah. I think it is. I think so. It's like veal and like cow meat. It's Charizard versus...
Right. So, Charizard is... cow meat is beef, by the way. Just figured I'd help connect those dots there. Happy to help. I know it's hard to, like, learn new words, so I figured I'd expose you to this one.
Thank you.
So, Charizard is probably more your favorite to, like, have and or befriend?
Yeah.
Cool. Tell me why.
I mean, who just doesn't love a dragon that's on fire, you know? It's good.
The fire department.
Yeah, I guess they wouldn't. Sorry, my cat is trying to, like, eat my microphone cord right now.
So I was distracted. Fern.
See, if I had a Charizard, it could just yell at my cat for me, and I wouldn't have to do it.
That's true. That's true. So, speaking of fire, if Space Jam 2 decided to go in a more musical direction by casting a non-basketball player and a world-renowned musician with many fire albums, Billy Joel, as the star, what would the storyline be? Space Jam 2, starring Billy Joel and the Looney Tunes.
Does he get to go to space at all?
I don't know. Space is in the name, but space was also in the name of the first one, and that just kind of had aliens, but wasn't really addressed.
Yeah.
So.
What if it would be about Billy Joel trying to write We Didn't Start the Fire, but his cat keeps stepping on the piano keys? Oh my god, there she goes again. Hello, cat. I'm so sorry.
That's such a
worst episode.
Meow, though.
This is like the most interrupted podcast episode ever in the history of the world.
We'll beat this record one day.
Oh, I'm sure we will. But anyways, is it bad that... this is how bad my memory is. I'm trying to remember what the fuck happens in Space Jam, and I can't remember.
So, Michael Jordan playing himself, Bill Murray playing himself, and then I think one other guy are going golfing. Okay. And this is shortly after Michael Jordan decides to go into baseball.
Right.
And Michael Jordan gets a hole-in-one because Bugs Bunny has a magnet under the green to drag the ball in all weird directions to go in.
Right.
And then Michael Jordan goes to the green for a picture that Bill Murray's going to take, And he, like, reaches his hand down to grab the ball and smiles at the camera. And then suddenly his whole body is sucked down the golf hole. Just, like, all cartoonish.
Okay.
Bill Murray's very confused. I think he digs up the green. Like, spends, like, a couple days just trying to... No, it's not Bill Murray, it's the other guy. What's his name? Wayne Knight?
Is he also a basketball guy?
No. The security guard from Jurassic Park.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah. That is his name. He was also Newman in Seinfeld.
Okay, yes. Definitely remember him.
So, like, he is Michael Jordan's new personal assistant, and he just is trying to find Michael Jordan underneath this green. Meanwhile, the Looney Tunes are explaining... This all happened in a... Like, before this. The Looney Tunes... There are these aliens who have a theme park on a planet, and it's not doing so well. They're losing money left and right. They don't have any new attractions. So, the boss man says to his henchman, hey, you gotta go kidnap the Looney Tunes and make them be slaves for our amusement park.
Nice.
It's actually a really dark film.
Yeah, that's a... I don't remember this at all. What?
Oh, yeah.
I watched this movie like 3 years ago. How don't I remember it? Anyways.
Mm-hmm. And these aliens are all tiny. Like 2 inches tall or some shit.
Okay.
And they fly down to Earth. They find the Looney Tunes and hold them at a laser gun point.
Yeah.
Telling them that they need to take them back to the... their amusement park. And Bugs Bunny says, hey, no, we gotta have a chance, you know? Let's make a bet. If we win against you in basketball, we don't go with you. But if you win against us, we will.
Okay.
And he's thinking, oh, these are such tiny aliens. But, and they agree. And then, you know, they take the power of other basketball players, you know. Michael Jordan has to train the Looney Tunes. They play basketball. Bill Murray plays basketball for a bit and then almost dies. It's a wild movie. Also, I've realized I've spent like 5 minutes of this episode just explaining the plot of Space Jam, which might not be the most prudent use of our time.
I think that's enough to mm-hmm. suppose a remake.
Uh-huh.
You should make a podcast where that's just called I Explain Space Jam to People.
Oh, yeah. The Space Jam Jam Space.
Mm-hmm.
I have an idea for the Billy Joel answer, though.
Yes.
Space Jam 2, Time Jam. At the very beginning, Billy Joel is writing We Didn't Start the Fire, and he finishes the final lyric and is so ready to turn it into his editor or whatever the fuck. And then he's celebrating with his friend Bill Murray playing Bill Murray, and they knock over a candle onto these lyrics, setting them on fire,
yes.
And then that proceeds to burn down all of Los Angeles.
Yes.
So they need to go back in time with the help of the Looney Tunes to make sure that they didn't start the fire. We didn't
That's
start the
good.
Fire.
I like this. Oh, and then when he burns down all of Los Angeles, like a property developer can come out and be like, look at all this parking we can make.
Amazing. You'd also have to find different ways to like flex the plot in order to shoehorn in different other song titles and songs by Billy Joel, such as My Life, Downeaster Alexa, Still Rock
so
and Roll to Me,
like,
Piano Man.
Would it be like Jukebox musical style, where they just sing these like in slight relation to the plot, like it's barely related but it's like kind of related, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like those episodes of Glee when the people singing are actually just people in real life situations and not actually the Glee Club performing.
Editor's note: the rumbling you may have heard in the background while I was saying that last statement was the ghost of Glee coming back to haunt me.
Yes.
I never said this movie is going to do well.
I mean, it will because of the title, I think.
Uh-huh. And the star power.
And
it'll
because,
make money, but it won't be good.
Yeah, it'll make money, but then it'll have like a 2% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And then they'll make another one because it made money.
But after you do space and time, what do you have left?
Dark matter.
Oh. Dark matter jam.
Dark matter jam.
Wait, no. Strawberry. Strawberry jam. So here on the Monday Thursday Power Hour, we like to ask each guest the same question for each episode to see how their answers differ. So I'm going to read this aloud to you. I'm sure you've already heard it before, so I'm sure you're prepared. But, you know, just for our new listeners, I figure I should, you know, give them all the context. Are you ready, Liz?
Yes.
A queer person has a jean jacket. Over time, the jacket gets holes, and cool patches are added to cover them. At what point is it no longer the same jacket as it was in the beginning?
Well, I guess I think things, because I have I feel like I never really developed object permanence. Like if I'm not looking at it, it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. So if this person was a friend of mine or an acquaintance, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and I saw them wearing the jacket and then they patched up one hole, and I saw it the next time, because I am not very observant and kind of stupid, I would probably just be like, oh, hey, that's a new jacket. Cool.
So with each alteration, it becomes a new jacket. It's no longer what it began as.
Yeah. As soon as you change one thing, that's mm-hmm. new. Because the whole vibe changes, right? Like a pristine denim jacket with nary a patch is mm-hmm. like a different vibe, like aesthetically, than a denim jacket with one patch or two patches, which mm-hmm. is a different vibe aesthetically from like the whole front is a patch.
Or a denim jacket with no denim left, just patches.
Yeah, then that's a patchwork jacket.
Which I love.
Yeah, that's a good... I feel like it would be really hard to like systematically replace the denim around like the buttonholes, you know?
Oh yeah, you'd have to...
You'd have really to be literally like a master. But honestly, this person, feel like they could do it.
Yeah, I believe in them. They're queer, so of course.
Yeah, so of course.
They get a +2 to every stat because of that.
Yep, that's how this works.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I'm going to make this motivational quick. Be right back. Okay. We should apply that sort of thinking to ourselves and our own self-development. Huh. I am a different person than I was yesterday. I'm a different person than I was last year, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
The things that I did that I'm embarrassed about, that I lie awake at night thinking about that happened 7 years ago when I said used weird phrasing to somebody or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That was a different person. Those things shaped who I became, but that was a different person. That's not me. I am this person. I am me with all of these different experiences that are different than 2 years ago me.
Yeah, and I think the other side of that coin is there definitely were things that I, like, what used to be ashamed of mm-hmm. when I was younger that don't bother me now. Right.
And you don't have to be ashamed of being ashamed of them when you were younger.
Exactly.
Right.
So it's like, because I've gotten more perspective and I understand the world better mm-hmm. and I've, like, you know... had some personal growth. Now mood. I don't shame spiral about this. There were things I used to shame mm-hmm. spiral about mm-hmm. like 10 years ago that I look back on and mm-hmm. I'm just like, well, that was a thing that happened, or that was an interest that I had that was actually mm-hmm. now that I think it's actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah.
While my most significant shame spirals were about gender and sexuality.
Oh, absolutely.
I definitely went through shame spirals about things like Glee or Homestuck. Things like that.
Oh my god. Yeah, I also used to partake in both of those mm-hmm. media forms. Yeah. And
And it shaped who I am now.
Exactly. 2 years mm-hmm. removed from it, I was like, oh my god, that's so cringy. I can't believe I liked it. And now I'm like,
cool. Whatever.
It's fine. You like what you like.
Don't think I'm going to go back and consume them, either of them again, but...
No, of course not.
Whatever.
Yeah.
We should watch Glee. We should not watch Glee, but we should watch Glee. Anyways, I'm really glad that we can provide this free therapy session to our listeners.
Yeah, no, this is
Monday,
like,
Thursday power hour is no replacement for therapy, and every single human being should have a therapist, including your therapist.
Exactly. And honestly, like, this is just like when you have a friend that doesn't go to therapy, and then they face like a really, to you, like, common emotional problem, and then you just tell them what your therapist said, and they're like, wow, that's very insightful. And you're
right.
Like, thank
Secondhand you. Secondhand therapy.
Yeah, and you're like, thank you. Someone who went to school for a very long time for this told me about it. And then you say, really, though, you should go to therapy.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, therapists are probably the people who need therapy the most.
Yeah, because they just like, sit there and...
Right, they have to, like, deal with both helping and genuinely caring about their clients while not being so attached that it, like, you know, destroys them. That takes a lot. And also, like, it must be so easy to become complacent as a therapist, to be like, oh, yeah, I figured this all out now. I don't have to work on my mind state or emotional health anymore. Like,
yeah,
if I were a therapist, I would need a therapist more than I do today, which is saying something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was just saying something, because if I don't go to therapy, watch out. It will be quite incredible how bad it will be for me.
Exactly, exactly. It's sort of like when I accidentally go without taking my meds for a few days.
Oh yeah, that's the worst. That's actually the worst. I become like, literally, I'll go from like being normal, basically, like going to work, like doing whatever, and then I come home and then I get, you know, I'm like, well, wouldn't it be great if I just became a ghost now instead of eventually? You know?
Exactly.
Just...
Might as well get that done, because I can't get anything else done.
I can't
right
do.
Now.
I literally can't do anything. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a point when I was like the most sad ever that I couldn't even really like stand up and walk across my apartment. It would make me so tired. I would have to go back to sleep.
I have been there. I feel it. It's the worst.
It's so. Mm-hmm. It's so crazy. But
yeah, a couple months ago, I think I went like 5 whole days without leaving my apartment, which both was caused by and further contributed to my depressive episode at the time.
Yep. No, that's, it's true. Like, it's like you feel like you can't go outside, but like being isolating yourself like that and like not looking at the sun, like, really does affect
or even just not having that change of environment.
Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
That just makes all the days mesh together and things feel so much less real.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff going on in my brain that sucks and is weird and is
I'm
really
so sorry.
Whatever. No. I'm not saying that in like a kind of way. I'm more saying it in like a, that's really interesting to think about.
Yeah,
there's a lot
of
different ways that my brain doesn't work optimally. So it's just a matter of figuring out how to deal with them.
Yep.
Anyways. That brings us to our next serious topic, brands. In this late-stage capitalist dystopia we find ourselves in, we see brands, especially on Twitter, trying to go in all sorts of relatable and/or quirky directions. Mm-hmm. Brands are trying to become Manic Pixie Dream Girls.
Yes.
From things like the KFC dating simulator or the Wendy's tabletop RPG to even just, like, just the most uncomfortable things from Arby's that I don't even want to speak of. There's just a lot going on here. Like, not just in the fast food space, but that is a very prominent example. If you were tasked with planning a video game that was a satire of those brands trying to be quirky and relatable, but also tried to dunk on them as much as possible.
Yeah.
How do you think you'd approach that challenge?
I think the first thing I would do is, like, whatever format the video game is, whether it's some kind of, like, adventure-based, like, quest thing, or, like... Yeah, I think the thing to really nail down for the vibe of this, the thing that I think is the most cringy about these brand Twitters is when they try to use, like, slang.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it'll be like, hi, I'm the, what the fuck is the mascot of Chick-fil-A, a chicken? Hi, I'm Chicky the Chick-fil-A chicken. Let's yeet your money away into this Chick-fil-A. Like, something really fucking, like, using everything wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, I think.
Let's get lit on our homophobia.
Yeah, let's get lit for Jesus in Chick-fil-A. And then you can't play the game on Sunday. You try to open the game and it's like, and it's like, hold on there, partner. You should be praising the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Only atheists and Jewish people do things on Sundays. And yep. One of those we judge more than the other, whereas the other we're just like, fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think it's also really important in making fun of these brand Twitters to like heavily anthropomorphize something or like make the whatever their like human mascot is be like a seem like a cool like young person.
Not just a cool young person. Sexy cool young person.
Yes. Right. Like if it if it's a girl and it doesn't have titties, it's an inanimate object, you better fucking give it some titties.
And if it's a dude, you gotta make him all... You gotta either go very much in the, like, refined androgyny direction. Yes. Such as they did with Colonel Sanders for the KFC dating sim.
I never saw that.
It's so bad. Don't get it off Steam. It's free, but, like, it's... It just feeds them.
I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah, you should look it up. Maybe watch, like, a let's play of it of somebody from a
I wouldn't actually like, play it. I
don't have for sure.
I don't have the patience for that.
I on a whim downloaded it and I actually got the good ending, which was
That's good.
Right, because there was a prompt like your alarm goes off and the two options were get up and go to school or turn it off and keep sleeping. And I hit turn it off and keep sleeping and it was like you slept through the entire school year and missed your chance to meet Colonel Sanders. And that's like the good ending.
That is actually the best ending.
It really is. But anyways, I do think like the other direction for men or male-coded sexual attraction magnets for these different brand ventures is to go in more of a like Remus Lupin direction. Like, not necessarily as played by whatever his name was, but just like the more like
what do you mean, like a tortured artist type of vibe?
People you cringe at on Twitter would call the androgynous one sir, and this one, the gruff one, daddy.
Okay, yes, I understand.
Mm-hmm. That's the difference.
Right, yeah. And it's like someone, like they're, you know that like someone, like this theoretical brand thing, this game, like someone's gonna call something in it daddy, and it's gonna be horrible. Oh, they're gonna be like, oh my god, that chicken nugget? Daddy.
Amazing.
Also, you like, should... what if if you had to make one of these, what brand would you make it for?
I think I would want to make it for a brand that doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
Like, this is an alternate reality in which Radio Shack took over the brandscape.
Yes.
I feel like you could have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, I would do Toys R Us, I think. Based off of that vein.
Oh, yeah, nice. I respect that choice. And then I think, like, in the background, there would be subtle hints at the cyberpunk uprising happening. Nice. And depending on which way you guided the story, you would either join it and help overthrow our Radio Shack overlords, or you would eventually become a vice president of Radio Shack before getting your head chopped off by Guillotine.
Awesome.
But a cyberpunk guillotine. It's got, like, flashy it's got some, like, lasers and stuff.
Yeah, and it's, like, just got some, like, gears taped onto it. Oh, that's steampunk.
Right.
Sorry, I confused them.
No, you're valid. Steampunk is for straight people. Cyberpunk is for queer people, in my opinion.
Honestly, I never considered that, but, like, you right.
Yeah.
Steampunk is, like, for straight people who get way too into the Renaissance Festival.
Oh, yep, definitely.
Yeah.
Steampunk is for... Steampunk is for people who want to vote for Bernie Sanders or someone similar, but also want to be rich and think that people can earn lots of money and deserve to have all that money when other people are homeless or starving or something like that.
Yeah.
It's for those people with, like, assessment. Yeah, with that, like, cognitive dissonance.
Yeah.
These are the ideals that apply to everyone except for me.
Yeah.
Your real early Friedrich Nietzsche
These style. Are the ideals that apply to everyone except for me. Also, I'm wearing a gold top hat. Fuck you.
Also, I'm John Galt.
Yes.
Ayn Rand. So, speaking of cyberpunk, if you were a hacker, what would your internet handle or screen name be?
Ooh.
What would your hacker name be?
That's a really good question.
Because, like, you gotta hide your identity. Sort of like Banksy, identity. Except cool.
Yeah. I like when they have, like they do, like, the old school, like, lead speak thing where they'll put, like, zeros and, like, dollar signs and threes for letters. Mm-hmm. So I would want to do that kind of thing. Maybe it could just be, like... Maybe it could just be that. Maybe it could just be... I could name it after the lip balm EOS.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
And then have it be $30.
I love that.
Or, and then people would be like, what is that, $30? And I would be like, no, why, it's EOS.
You put the dollar sign on the wrong side of it.
And I would be like, no, that's how they do it in Europe. And then they would be like, that is not true. And I would be like,
cool.
Yeah, it is.
it's your opinion against mine. Who can say? I like that. I think I would go in a slightly different direction. I would... I would want to take some sort of character or long-dead historical figure and adapt their name.
That's good.
Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, who the perfect one would be. How would you turn the name Gonzo the Great into a hacker pun?
A hacker pun?
Yeah, it's got to be a pun. It can't just be like, oh, GR, the number 8.
Okay, so, like, do they do puns about, like, computer shit, or...
Yeah, I don't know. I gotta have a pun. You know me.
Yeah, okay, I guess you gotta have a pun. I was like, I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, no, no, it's just for me.
You could do... I'm really slow at puns.
No, you're valid.
I'll think of one, like, tomorrow in, like, maybe, like, 14 hours. I'll think of one.
Fantastic. If you do, I will edit in you saying it here.
Cool.
Error. File not found.
That's such a good pun, Liz. Oh, my God. Oh, you're the best. My pun-making experience is such that RhymeZone.com is one of my top 10 most visited websites.
Oh my god. See, I always think that people who can make puns just do it innately and they were just born with that skill. So honestly, it makes me feel better about myself that you look things up.
Oh, I definitely do. And like, while sometimes I do come up with them on the fly, it's much easier to do so after lots of experience looking up these rhymes.
It's almost like learning new skills takes practice and repetition.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Something I refuse to acknowledge. I'm just like, I won't do anything because people are just born that way and I was not blessed to be talented. So, okay, fuck that. I'm not trying.
Mood. If I can't do this perfectly, might as well quit.
Yeah, it's like, if I can't do this perfectly on the first try, I'm done.
Exactly. Or if no one's watching, maybe the second try, depending on how badly the first try went.
Yeah, the second try, and then I'm going to pretend like it was actually the first try.
Exactly. But if people are watching, first try is done. Zeroth try is sometimes done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. True. Anyways.
I have, after consulting my colleague RhymeZone.com, come up with my perfect hacker name.
Yes.
So in certain different programming languages, there are lists where the technical term for them is arrays, like A-R-R-A-Y. Yes. I would be Array Romano. Array Romano.
Array Romano. And what can you have a little like icon, like a hacker icon? No, you can't. I was just
probably like a, you know, you
could just have like an array of Ray Romanos, and I don't mean that in a computer way. I mean just like an array, like a variety,
yeah,
just a bunch of different pictures of him.
Or alternatively, you could even go in the computer way. You could do like the, you know, the square bracket.
Oh, I was gonna say that's what an array is, right? It's like the same as like a matrix a little bit.
Right, it's similar. Yeah, definitely. So like just
yeah,
a square
so just
bracket.
Draw an array.
Mm-hmm. Square bracket with different pictures of Ray Romano's face with commas between them.
Yeah, perfect.
Fantastic. Yeah, because, you know, most hacker forums, I'm pretty sure, let you choose an avatar. So I should get on that.
And then you could put it, like, I know sometimes when people hack, like, websites, they leave, like, a signature in the code or something. Is that a thing? Or did
something
I make that
like
up?
That. Yeah, people like to leave a calling card type thing.
Yeah, you could just, like, leave, like, in, like, how do you pronounce, like, ASCII?
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 I don't know.
ASCII? You could do, like, an ASCII text version of the array of Ray Romanos. Mm-hmm. That's your calling card.
Hey, Liz?
Yeah?
How would you feel about giving me $12 to buy the domain name arrayromano.com?
I have to sign into my bank account first and see how much money I have.
Then I will hack your bank account details because I'm Array Romano.
Yeah,
and
I
no,
guess
don't
so.
Don't actually give me money for this.
Okay.
But, you know.
Well, now, if in several years when I see on the news that a mysterious hacker named Array Romano is wreaking havoc, I know who it is.
I swear, one of our listeners is going to buy Array Romano and then hold it hostage from us.
I know. And then we'll just have to, like...
get arrayromano.biz or...
yeah.
.pizza.
Yep.
Or, like, Matrix Romano. Just distance yourself from the pun and instead reference the pun.
I like that.
Fantastic. So, this has been the Monday Thursday Power Hour, the 45-minute interview podcast with various interesting people. New episodes each Tuesday. Liz, thank you so much for joining me. I really look forward to hearing more about your journey towards ghostdom.
Thank you. Every day is but one step forward to becoming a ghost.
Exactly. That's how I like to live my life. Before we sign off for this episode... would you like to plug anything, either of yours or someone else's?
Yes, I would like to plug this podcast. Please keep listening to it.
I would like to plug this podcast I've been listening to recently. It's called the Monday Thursday Power Hour. It's a 45-minute interview podcast with various interesting people, new episodes each Tuesday. I've been really enjoying it, and I think more people should listen to it.
Cool.
Additionally, I would like to plug... there's something very specific that I wanted to plug. I gotta check what it was. First, Fern's Meows. I would like to plug Fern's Meows.
Me too.
Right. I would like to plug the Kung Fu Panda trilogy, which is the pinnacle of creative achievement by the human race. We have peaked as of... was it... What year was it? As of
the
2016, when Kung Fu Panda 3 was released... And that's why things have been declining since then.
Yep.
And they will continue until a new Kung Fu Panda era is ushered forth into the world by Po Jack Black.
Yes.
Thank you so much for listening to the Monday Thursday Power Hour. You can find us on Anchor or on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else. You can find us on Twitter at MonthersPurr. You can also, you know, just search Monday Thursday Power Hour on Twitter. You'll find us. And if you like the show, feel free to... we'd love it if you would just share it with a friend. Get it out there, because I know a lot of people who could really use our specific services, such as the writer-directors of Space Jam 2, and
being an eventual
any queer
ghost.
Person ever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So thank you for listening. I've been Luna Brecky, and as we always say...
Don't forget to find our own music. So this podcast won't suck. So this podcast won't suck.